Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. I believe we have arrived at Siman Chaf Ches Seif Beis. So we're picking up from there. The Shulchan Aruch says, Chayev Levarich Koidem Sheichase. One is obligated to make a bracha before covering the blood. And the bracha is, Asher Kedoshonu Mitzvoiso, Vitzivonu, Hashem sanctified us with his mitzvahs and commanded us, Al Kisui Dam Ba'ofo, about covering the blood with earth. The Shulchan Aruch stresses that this bracha should be made before covering the blood. This is in line with the usual principle with all kiyum mitzvahs, that whenever one makes a bracha, the bracha is normally made before the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch stresses this because there is an opinion in the Rishonim, the Shitta of the Bahag, who maintains that this case is an exception to the general rule, because he looks at shchita and kisui, the shchita of the animal and the kisui, the covering of the blood, as one long procedure, as though it was one mitzvah. And therefore he says that having shechted at the beginning, you're somehow in the middle of the mitzvah. You're not before the mitzvah, you're in the middle. And to interrupt in the middle isn't proper. And therefore he says that this case is an exception to the general rule, and the bracha should be made after the kisui hadam. However, we don't rule like his opinion. The majority of Rishonim don't accept this view, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch stresses the bracha should be made before covering the blood. In fact, it's to the extent that even if somebody forgot to make the bracha before covering the blood, and now after covering it, he says to himself, oh my, I didn't make the bracha. So should we maybe tell him, at least make the bracha now? Because there is the opinion of the Bahag, who says that the bracha is meant to be made then. No, we don't. We reject the opinion of the Bahag to the extent that we say, after covering the blood, this is a sort of sofik brachas. It's a sofik if you can make the bracha, then altogether, sofik brachas lahakim. The place can question the wording of the bracha over here, al kisui dam be'offer, covering the blood with offer, where the word offer over here is that it seems a little bit of an extra sort of detail in the mitzvah. When we make the bracha, we don't usually go into the details of the mitzvah, what exactly you should cover it with. If we say al tevilas kelim, we don't say al tevilas kelim b'mayim, we just say al tevilas kelim. Why over here should the word ba'ofar be included as part of the bracha? And they give a variety of reasons. The Taz mentions the fact that from this word ba'ofar, we learn that there are two angles of the mitzvah, which we're going to see later on in the siman. There's a mitzvah that there should be ofar both underneath and on top of the blood. It has to be covered from all sides. And in fact, there are slight differences maybe even between the halacha of the earth underneath and the earth on top. There's sort of two angles of the mitzvah. So to allude to these two parts of the mitzvah, we use the term ba'ofar, which is the wording of the pasuk where Chazal learned from here this idea that it needs to be covered with ofar. Or Chashulchan suggests that very often we find the word kisui in the Torah for a more external type of covering, a covering that doesn't completely absorb and take in within it the thing it's covering, like Tamar covered her face with a scarf, so it's just a sort of external type of covering. So to express the nature of the covering, we add the word ba'ofar. Be that as it may, there are some poskim who say that there's no need to say the word ba'ofar, and there are two minhagim. The Kaf HaChaim says that everybody can just follow their minhag. Either way, it's certainly not ma'akiv, this word ba'ofar. If you said it, you said it. If you didn't, you didn't. Says the Rambam, Mishe shochat pama rishoin, somebody who's shechting for the first time ever in his life. So he's a new shochet, new on the job, and this is the first time that he's shechting something. Mevarich shechiyonu, he says the bracha of shechiyonu al hakisui, when he does the kisui hadam. So before doing the kisui hadam, he would say two brachas, al kisui hadam ba'ofar, and also shechiyonu. Avoloi al hashchita, but not on the shchita, even though it's his first time doing shchita as well. The whole procedure is new. It's the first time doing shchita and the first time doing kisui. But no shechiyonu on the shechita, only shechiyonu on covering the blood. Why? The mazik leberia. Because when one does the shchita, you are ultimately causing some damage to one of Hashem's creatures. And therefore to say that shechiyonu would be a little bit insensitive. So no shechiyonu over there. Poskim question this ruling of the Rama at great length, that somebody who performs a mitzvah for the first time, says Sheikh Yonu. Indeed, this concept, were it to be accepted as halacha, would be relevant in many scenarios. Not only over here, somebody who puts on tzitzis for the first time, somebody who puts on tefillin for the first time. L'chaira, if you would follow this ruling of the Rama, that's what should come out. And the Shach brings a lot of proofs that it isn't so. There's other places in halacha where we see that you don't make a bracha, you don't say shachion on such a thing, and he leaves the ruling of the Rama as a tzorich il. And therefore, the Prima Gadim says this should be looked at as a case of sophic brachos, a doubt whether a bracha is required or not. And we know the rule is, whenever you're in doubt whether a bracha should be recited or shouldn't be recited, sophic brachos lahakil, no bracha is recited. So, the bottom line is that no shachionu is said. However, we could guess ourselves, Poskim recommend that somebody who finds himself in this situation, there's a good way of avoiding the question by getting yourself a beged chadosh, a pri chadosh, new item of clothing, new fruit, where you can anyway say the Sheikh Yonu, so you can say the Sheikh Yonu having in mind the new fruit or the new item of clothing, and then you've avoided the question. Rav Shlomo Zalman, when his boys became bar mitzvah, he would say to them that when they put on the tefillin for, let's say, a month or however long they would put it on before their bar mitzvah, he would clearly stipulate that he's not giving them the tefillin as a present at this point in time. They don't belong, doesn't belong to their child, they remain belonging to him. He's lending them the tefillin. When it would come the day of their bar mitzvah, he would give them the tefillin as a present. He'd say, today I'm giving you the tefillin as a present. And he maintained that with that we avoid the question of whether Sheikh Yonu is to be made or not, because when you've been given such a valuable item like tefillin, aside from the essential Lomdisha question of whether a bracha can be made on fulfilling a mitzvah for the first time, you've been given a valuable item which is worth a lot of money and very useful to you, so that itself warrants a Sheikh Yonu. So that you have simcha in using it, so that itself warrants a Sheikh Yonu, and one can avoid the issue of whether Sheikh Yonu should be made on a first time mitzvah or not by doing so. Moving on to Seif Gimel, we learnt in Seif Aleph that Kisrei Adam is performed only when we shecht either a bird, an oif, or a chayal, non-domesticated animals. When shechting a domesticated animal, however, Kisrei Adam is not required. So now we have some types of animals where there is some form of doubt. So firstly, koi. There's a creature which Chazal call a koi, shehu sofik chayal. Chazal were unsure whether this creature should be classified as a behema, a domesticated animal, or a chayal, a non-domesticated animal. And likewise, there's another case of doubt, kilayim, a hybrid, habom, a behema of a chayal, which is born from parents, a mother and father, where one party is a behema and the other party is a chayal. Tzorich l'chaseis domon. So both of these situations are dealt with as a situation of doubt. We're unsure whether to classify this creature in front of us as a behema or as a chayal, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch rules, tzorich l'chaseis domon, one is obligated to cover their blood, but ve'eino mevorich, one does so without making a bracha. Because since we don't know whether they're a behema or a chayal, we're unsure whether kisrei adam is required. And therefore, on the one hand, sofik deraisa l'chumra, we're unsure whether it's needed, so you have to do it. Sofik deraisa l'chumra, it's a sofik and a deraisa, so you go l'chumra and you do it. But on the other hand, you don't make any bracha because it's a sofik, whether this is required, and therefore a sofik brachas. Once again, Shulchan Aruch is stressing this to the exclusion of other opinions in Rishonim, who held that when we have the rule of sofik deraisa l'chumra, which tells us that this act which you're doing now is required, you have to do it because sofik deraisa l'chumra. They held that once you're obligated to do it because of the rule of sofik deraisa l'chumra, we look at it as an act which is absolutely required, and even a bracha may be made. We don't rule like that view, and therefore any case where you have a sofik, whether the mitzvah is required or not, on the one hand you must do it with sofik because sofik deraisa l'chumra, on the other hand no bracha is made. When Shulchan Aruch talks here about this case of the koi, which is a sofik chayal, there's a little question over here we're going to learn in Mitzvah Hashem when we arrive far down the road in Yeridei, I think it's Simon Pei, that there are various there are various identifying signs which tell us whether an animal is a behemoth or a chayo, to do with various details of how their horns are formed, what the inside of the horns is like. Tosfos in Chulin explains that Chazal were unable to identify this koi by looking at its horns because it wasn't possible for some reason to dissect them in the proper way that we should be able to see what's going on there, and therefore it wasn't possible to identify it by means of looking at its horns. The next case of the hybrid, which comes from a behemoth and from a chayo, Mefarshim explained that the source of the sophic, why exactly is this a sophic? It has one party which is a chayo and one party which is a behemoth. Mefarshim say that actually we have to look a little more closely what the case is. If the mother of this animal, of this creature, was a chayo, then this animal in front of us most certainly needs kisui hadam. In other words, the maternal line certainly is enough to give the animal the status of a chayo, or at least partial status of a chayo, which is good enough to require kisui hadam. So if its mother is a chayo, it certainly needs kisui hadam. That is not the case being discussed over here. It needs kisui hadam with certainty, and a bracha may be made. The case being discussed over here is the opposite case, where the father of this animal was a chayo, its mother was a behemoth, and there is a suffix in the Gemara whether in these inyanim the father's status is taken into account and he gives his status to the child or not. Choshishin lezera ha'av, do we take this into account or not? And this question is left unresolved, and that's why it's a suffix. So the case is specifically where the father is a chayo, not the other way around. Let's continue Shulchan Aruch, we'll proceed. These cases of a koi and of the hybrid, one may not be shechted on Yom Tov if one has such a creature, although in essence shechita is permitted on Yom Tov for the sake of eating, it's one of the malachas of Oichal Nefesh which may be done on Yom Tov. These cannot be shechted on Yom Tov. Why? Because kisui hadam generally involves some form of Yom Tov prohibition. At very least, even if everything else is prepared, at very least it would generally involve mukta, because the earth is normally mukta, and therefore one doesn't check them on Yom Tov. But even a little bit further, even if we were to have earth which was not mukta, so we would have some way of covering this blood without any Yom Tov violation. Let's say we've set aside earth from before Yom Tov, so especially prepared earth, and we've set it on the side, so it's not mukta. We still don't want you to arrive at a situation of having to do kisui hadam on this animal on Yom Tov. Chazal completely forbade doing the kisui hadam, and the reason is because Chazal were concerned that if people will see you doing kisui hadam on this creature on Yom Tov, people will say to themselves, "Ooh, Chazal would never have allowed doing kisui hadam on Yom Tov, which is definitely a tocha and involves extra exertion on Yom Tov. Chazal would not have allowed such a thing were they not to be absolutely certain that this kisui is required." As they will think that Chazal wouldn't have allowed such a thing if it was only a matter of doubt. It's absolutely required. So people will see you covering the blood and they'll think, kisui hadam over here is absolutely required. And what's such a great problem if people will think that? If people will think that, they'll think that this creature is certainly a chayo. And we know that a chayo has got a certain leniency which a behemoth doesn't have. A chayo, the various forbidden fats that are forbidden in a behemoth, are permitted in a chayo. So Chazal are concerned, if others will witness you covering the blood of this creature on Yom Tov, they'll take from that that it is certainly a chayo, and in future occasions maybe they'll allow its fats. So therefore Chazal said they absolutely banned any kisui hadam on these types of creatures on Yom Tov, and because of that, even if you have offer prepared, still no kisui hadam, and therefore don't even shecht them in the first place, because we don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're going to shecht it and you won't be able to cover its blood. For im shechtom, if everyone did go ahead and shecht them, then eimei mechase domon, one does not cover their blood on Yom Tov. Uvalayla, when it comes nightfall, im rishumi nika, if the blood is still somewhat visible, recognizable, it hasn't completely been swallowed up, then there is still a mitzvah. We're going to learn about this a little later on, how long the mitzvah lasts. As long as there's still some noticeable remainder of the blood there, there's still a mitzvah, and then you'll do it at nighttime, yechasenu, you should cover it. One should not, however, prepare a utensil before shechting the animal to catch the blood in. Sounds like it sounds like a good eitzah, right? Let's prepare a utensil to catch the blood in. That way it won't dry up so quickly. And you'll keep it in that utensil until after Yom Tov, and then you'll cover it. No, that should not be done, because we learnt in Siman Yud Aleph that there is a prohibition on shechting and catching the blood in Kalim. Then it shouldn't be any concern, some impression of shechting for the sake of Avodah Zarah. That was the derech of the idol worshippers. Okay. Siv Dalet. Ha buffalo. So there's a creature called a buffalo. Nagu shaloi lechasis es dome. The custom is that we do not cover its blood. There's some discussion in Poiskim whether this creature should be classified as a behemoth or as a chaya. Shulchan Aruch rules that it can be classified as a behemoth with confidence, not even a suffix, therefore one's not obligated to cover its blood. Some of Farshim say that this opinion understands. We'll find a creature often, a number of times in Novi, we find a creature called Mari, Mem Reish Yud Aleph, Mari. So it's when David HaMelech brought the Oren back to the Mishkan, so they had this procession and they shechted Tzonu Bokor Umri Loroiv. Some of them of Farshim identify this Mari as this buffalo, and since if the Marie is the buffalo, then it's absolutely clear that it's a behemoth because they brought it there as a korban. Chayes are not brought as a korban. But says the Ramah, the Yesh Mistapkim, some are unsure how this should be classified, but buffalo, Shuhu Shor Habor. They say that this buffalo is the Shor Habor, which is mentioned in Chazal. Chazal talk about a creature called a wild Shor, and Chazal are themselves, there's two opinions in Chazal, whether the Shor Habor, this wild Shor, is it simply just a wild Shor, and so it's a behemoth and it's gone a bit wild? Or is it actually some other min all on its own? It's machlokes in Chazal and the Sofik Hatapaskan. And therefore we have to look at it Shemar Chayahu, perhaps it's a Chayah. Okay, and therefore what should be the practical ruling according to the Ramah? Toiv lechasoisoi v'loi brocha. It is good to cover it without saying any brocha. Oy, says the Ramah, or alternatively, an eitzah for this case, and indeed for all cases where there's a suffix of kisei adam, lishchot oif gamke. Along with shechting this creature, find yourself some chicken, shech the chicken as well. So oz yuchal levorich ala kisui mishum ha'oif, and then you'll be able to make a bracha on kisei adam after having shechted both of these creatures. You'll make a bracha on the kisei adam, and you'll go ahead, and you'll cover the blood of both of them. Poskim stress that somebody who follows this advice should make a point of shechting the oif not directly over the blood of the buffalo, because if he will, then the blood of the oif will become bottle in the blood of the buffalo, and your bracha will once again be called into question. So one should make a point of shechting it next to the blood of the buffalo, so that you can make a bracha on that blood and then cover both of them in one go. And likewise, one should make a point of covering the blood of the bird first, because the bracha primarily goes on that, and afterwards you'll cover the blood of the buffalo. Seif hei, tzarech sheyeh lemata ofor tichuach. When one does kisei adam, one has to be sure that underneath there is soft earth. Soft earth is earth that's not a clod of earth; it's earth that's granules, it's grainy. You could sort of move it as a powder between your fingers. There has to be soft earth underneath, because we're going to learn that kisei adam has to be done specifically in this soft type of earth, and kisei adam needs to be done from both sides, both from underneath and from on top, so there has to be this type of earth underneath. Now, we're going to learn that the kisei adam needs to be done by an act. There has to be an act of kisei adam. For example, if offer suddenly falls on top of your dam, the mitzvah of kisei adam has not been fulfilled. We'll see about it later on. So now we're going to look at how exactly does this requirement apply to the offer that's underneath the dam. That offer was presumably, it was there before. What happens if you just happen to find a place in the ground which has got this offer, tichuach? You didn't need to do anything. There was no act. So the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions. The first opinion says, v'tzorich lahazminoi b'peh. One should, at the very least, dedicate the earth underneath verbally. So, although it's not going to be exactly like the earth on top, which actually needs a physical act, but one should do some semblance of an act of Kisra Adam, by at very least dedicating the earth verbally and saying this earth should be Ofor Zeh Yehei Letzorech Kisra Adam. Certainly, however, even this opinion, who says that this is what needs to be done, he is discussing specifically a situation where the offer was already there before, and it didn't need any act of yours to arrange it in that place. If you brought the earth to that place, physically, for the sake of Kisra Adam, then there's no question that no verbal dedication needs to be done. However, some say that this is not required. In their view, the offer underneath is different than the offer on top. The offer underneath is simply something that has to just be there. It doesn't require an actual act, unlike the offer on top, which does require an act. Since Shulchan Aruch doesn't give an absolute ruling, and he only brings the second opinion as a Yesh Oimrim, and the first opinion he brings without using the words Yesh Oimrim, it sounds like his inclination is to the first opinion, and indeed, Poitzkim say it is a Sofik Deraita, and one should be Machmir to fulfill the view of the first opinion. Sifav, Mechase Beyodei, when doing the Kisra Adam, one covers the dam either with one's hand, or Besakin, or using a knife, or Bekli Acher, or using some other utensil. The main point over here being, Avol Lo Beragle, one should not simply cover it with one's foot, Kadesh Lo Yehu Mitzvahs Bezuyas Olav, so the mitzvahs should not be degraded and treated with a certain level of disrespect. To cover it with your foot would be disrespectful. One should take either with one's hand or with some utensil and cover it, but not with one's foot. When Shulchan Aruch says over here, so one covers it with the knife, obviously the knife that you have handy at that particular moment is your shechita knife, which you've just used. But, say the Poskim, certainly one may not use the blade of the shechita knife to cover the blood, because the shechita knife is something we have to be very careful with and not use for any other usage, for fear that it might get a pagam, it might get a nick, and one might mistakenly use it afterwards for shechita without properly checking it. The Poskim say that for sure, even if we do mean the shechita knife over here, we only mean reversing the knife and using its handle to cover the blood, but certainly not using the blade. In fact, Poskim are so stringent about this that they say a shechit who does use the blade of the knife for doing Kisra Adam should be removed from his post. Steve Zayn, Shachat v'loy haya offer lamato, if somebody did shecht and there was no offer lamato, there was no offer whatsoever underneath, no one shechted on this type of floor, which is not kosher for Kisra Adam. Tzorich ligra hadam, one would have to actually scrape away the dam, v'litnoi ba'ofa tichuach, and place it within soft earth, v'lechasis ofa tichuach olav, and to cover it with soft earth on top. Nevertheless, if it would be some sort of situation where it would be impossible to do this, for some reason or other you cannot manage to scrape away the dam, one shouldn't think that there's no mitzvah whatsoever in just covering it on top, since you're not able to fulfill the mitzvah absolutely properly. No. But it's going to say that if it's not going to be possible for whatever reason, one should at the very least cover it on top so that one fulfills the mitzvah at least in some measure. Siv Ches, Mishe Shalchat, the person who actually does the Shechita, Hu Yechase, it is his mitzvah to do the Kisra Adam. Ve'im Loi Kisra, but if he does not do it, V'ra'ohu Acher, and somebody else sees that it has not been done, Chayev Lechases, so that individual who sees that the Kisra hasn't yet been done, he is obligated to do the kisui. But in essence, the mitzvah belongs to the shoychid, it is his right. It does not mean that nobody else is able to do the mitzvah. If the shoychid wishes, he's able to give somebody else the covered, the honor of doing the mitzvah, he can make somebody else a shliach. But this should be done in a way of covered, in a way of respect, not in a way of like, you know, I'm not interested in this mitzvah, you do it. Should be in a way of honoring somebody else with the mitzvah, he's able to do that. But in essence, if he wishes to do it, it is his mitzvah, and it should not be taken away from him, to the extent that the Gemara says that somebody who jumps in and does the Kisra Adam and takes it away from the shoychit, he is obligated to pay him the money which one needs to pay for taking a mitzvah away from somebody, which is the amount of money of 10 zehuvim. Nowadays, we're not able to obligate somebody to pay this charge, because the rule is that nowadays our dayonim, our botei din, only have the koyach to obligate people to pay money in situations where they have actually caused somebody clear monetary loss, not things which are what we call a knas. This is a type of knas, So I cannot force the guilty party to pay the Yud Zuhuvim. But on the other hand, were the Shoichit to actually put his hand in the guilty party's pocket and take the Yud Zuhuvim out, we would not be able to force the Shoichit to return the Yud Zuhuvim. Either way, what this does show us is that the mitzvah belongs to the Shoichit, and if somebody takes it away from him, he has wronged the Shoichit. And even if nowadays we're not going to force him to pay those 10 Zuhuvim, but at the very least, he should ask the Shoichit Mechila and be Mefayis him. Okay, so we'll stop here. I wish everybody a good day. Shkoyach.